Much has been made about voting. Obviously, this is going to be very different. And we are exactly, as we sit here speaking, 11 weeks away from Election Day. 77 days until Election Day. But a lot of people will be voting before then. So the question about how you vote, where you vote, and who's going to make it tougher for you to vote is something that is of interest. The Ultimate Act of Resistance, that's what it's called. Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance. It's a book by our next guest, voting rights expert and attorney and author, obviously, Richard C. Bell, who is joining us. By the way, he has a website, richardbell@877calllaw.com, if you would like to check him out. Let's talk about the book and voting. Richard Bell, welcome. Thanks for being on POTUS today.
Thank you for inviting me, Tim.
So we've got, people have a lot of questions, and we're not here necessarily to be a primer on voting, but I'm kind of curious about how you see this year as different from previous years. You've looked at elections, and what's different aside from the fact that we have the pandemic, which is the big factor. It does seem that people are rethinking exactly how they're going to go about casting their vote. So what does that do?
Okay, Tim, sure. So here's what's most important. You know, I've spent years at polling places and in courts on election day fighting voter suppression from in-person voting, because that's really where most of the action was over the years in voter suppression. Now we have something very different. It's estimated, the New York Times estimated about 76% of people are going to vote by mail. That's what the estimate is. So we have a very high percentage. We never have a percentage like this. So what's going on right now with what is in the news about the post office slowing down the mail and cutting down overtime and taking boxes away and equipment? What that is going to do, if that is not rectified immediately, is going to disallow people from having their votes cast timely and to have them counted. So that is what the big difference is right now.
The question of suppression or fraud and proper counting of the votes, they seem in some ways to be separate in that, for example, the difference between fraud and actually getting the representation of the voter intent are two different things. For example, votes can be turned in or ballots can be turned in improperly signed or improperly filled out, and they can be rightfully left out of the count. But that could mean a lot of people who aren't used to doing this sort of thing could wind up not having their votes count. How do you track something like that?
Yeah, that's a great point. So certain states allow tracking and have laws that notify the voter and give them a number of days to rectify the problem if it's a missing signature or if it seems it's not a signature match or there's some line that you didn't fill in unrelated to the actual vote itself. They give you time to rectify. That's only in some states. So what really becomes the problem is states where it's postmark. The postmark has to be election day. That's fine. But some states only accept and count the ballots if they're received by election day, as opposed to postmarked, and then they can count it 3 to 6 days later. So that's why the rule of thumb for every voter, early, 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 whether in person or by mail.
Once again, Richard C. Bell with us, a voting rights expert and attorney, the author of Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance. So do you feel like the system has integrity? And one wonders, in the years past, people have trusted the system. Is it working? Is it something that people will it probably won't be this year on November the 4th, the day after Election Day, but even in the weeks afterwards, are people going to accept the results of this election?
Yeah. So first of all, Tim, there's myths about fraud in the past because every study shows that it's infinitesimal. I mean, voting in person with a billion ballots and there were 31 fraud cases, or vote by mail where there are 250 million votes and 143 cases. That's nothing. It's less than 0.00. So I believe in the integrity of the system, but I believe we have to do things right now. The states, Congress, and most of all, your audience, the voters, they got to do it early. They got to go to vote.org. It's a great website that will tell them what their state is doing in terms of deadlines, in terms of if they're getting the ballot automatically mailed to them. So, yes, I have confidence in the system. I'm not going to allow the president to set up a situation where he's falsely claiming that the election won't have integrity. It will have integrity, but we have to make all the steps done now.
Where should Congress, what should Congress be doing? You suggested Congress has a role. What should they be doing?
Oh, well, the House is reconvening on Saturday to pass a law to fund the post office to make sure that these delays in the mail that are caused by the Postmaster General bringing down overtime, removing mailboxes, removing sorting machines, that these stop immediately. They can be revisited after the election, but not now. So that's number one. That's what Congress can do. And the states, they have the ability, because they're secretaries of state of each state, has the ability to change the way voting is done, meaning you can send out automatic ballots like 11 states are doing to every voter. You can make sure that it's the postmark on before election day or by election day that counts. And then you can say, okay, we know there may be delays out there. So if as long as it's postmarked properly, the state secretary can say, yes, we'll count it and extend it to 7 to 9 days or something like that.
Michael, I'm sorry, Richard, I wonder, I was looking back and voting results people expect on election night, and that's never been the case. In other words, results have to be certified by secretaries of state or whatever mechanism is available in the states, and that usually takes at least a few days, sometimes weeks. But we know based on projections because of the vote count that these individuals are probably going to be victors. And so we usually know quickly, and we may not know that quickly on this election day. Are there things longer term that would be useful in trying to make the system better? I know people are very worried about this time around, but obviously long term, are there ways to make it better? Should everyone be doing mail-in balloting, for example? Should something else be explored to make voting, number one, efficient, number two, available to all?
Sure. There's a bunch of reforms. One, we should have universal vote by mail. If every state doesn't want to adopt that, then at least have what's called automatic voter registration, which means every time you go to the motor vehicle office or any government office, you are automatically enrolled at your new address as a registered voter. You can have same-day voting, where you can register the same day as you vote. You can have Election Day as a holiday. That's a good one for working people. You can have employers and schools register voters. These are the kinds of things that actually the House of Representatives passed in 2019. I believe it's called H.R. 1, never came up in the Senate. But these are very simple reforms that anyone who wants a system with integrity and efficiency and fairness would want. I don't really understand why they are controversial.
Should there be a burden on people to try to make them appreciate the value of voting? I mean, this has been brought up before, and you've heard the stories about people standing in line for hours and hours and hours just to get their finger dipped in ink to prove that they voted in some of these places where voting had not been allowed in the past. And now, I think the last election, we had about 58% of the American registered voters or eligible voters actually showed up to vote. And so is that because people are lazy or because it's difficult for them to be able to vote?
First of all, yes, you're correct. There were 100 million people that sat on their hands in 2016 that were eligible and didn't vote. And while there are barriers, and when I go out and fight voter suppression on election day in courts and at polling places, there is no question that things are made difficult. It's easy to shop online, but it's harder to vote, which it should never be. But it's not a matter of people lazy. There's a combination of some people being disaffected. But I do think that the country has woken up to the importance. One of the reasons I call voting the ultimate act of resistance, my book title, is because it turns people's anger into action and their ideas into laws. And they need to understand the importance of it because it affects every aspect of their life.
Do people feel sometimes disaffected just because when they vote and the result doesn't turn out the way they want it, they say, well, what's the point then?
That's one of the reasons. I think the other is when politicians don't speak to their everyday experiences, becomes a big problem. You know, people rarely vote, well, at least on the Democratic side. The Republican side, they're very good at voting about the Supreme Court. And the Democrats, for some reason, don't think of it in those terms. But when those Supreme Court decisions come down, I can tell you as a lawyer, they have tremendous effect on the average person. But the average person doesn't relate to that happening or what your governor does. Just look at what happened during this pandemic. How important was it to have a governor that was led by science as opposed to led by politics? And that's what I think people have to remember, especially during this pandemic.
My last question for you, since you are an attorney, Richard C. Bell, let's talk about the possibility existing that there would be challenges to the election results in some of the key states, whether it's Florida, Pennsylvania, some other state, and this could be tied up in the courts as a result. I mean, is there a possibility, assuming a close election, obviously, is there a possibility, though, that some of these challenges would take some time to work their way through the system?
Well, this is the problem. If you remember the 2000 election, by the time the Supreme Court stopped the vote count, the recount in Florida, and by the time they got to the issue, they said, oh, you know what? Maybe there could be a vote count recount now, but it's too late because the Electoral College has to meet. So the answer is, yes, there could be a lot of court challenges, and that's why it's important to have people with integrity on the court to make sure these are emergency applications, that we don't run into the problem we ran into in 2000 in Florida.
Yeah, the court's not going to change between now and December, though.
It's not going to change, but hopefully the court understands where we are and in this situation, how important it is, because the president has obviously tried to make an issue of the integrity of the election. So this is what's at stake for all of us. Are we going to have confidence that it's a fair and free election? And I believe it will, but voters have to do what they have to do that I outlined. Congress, the states, we all have a role in it.
Richard C. Bell, thank you for joining us on POTUS today.
My pleasure, Tim. Thank you for inviting me.
Richard C. Bell, voting rights expert, attorney, author of The Voting, The Ultimate Act of Resistance, joining us on POTUS and his concerns about the upcoming election.